This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, a look at efforts to study and preserve the environment and our native ecosystems. First up, Price Hills Imago is an environmental grassroots organization that started 30 years ago to help people connect to the natural world around them. It provides educational experiences like summer camps and workshops on ecology and promotes community building and conservation of natural areas. Imago helped create Enright Ridge Urban Eco Village. And joining us to talk about conservation and sustainability efforts in an urban setting are Executive Director of Imago, Chris Clements, and incoming President of the Enright Ridge Urban Eco Village, Jamie Gaines. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chris and Jamie, thank you both for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And Chris, let's start by talking about Imago, the history of Imago. It's been around for 30 years now. How did it get its start?
It started with two social workers, Jim and Eileen Schenck, husband and wife, and they were working in Covington. And in doing their social work, they noticed that people were coming to them and they were unhappy with their station in life. And they started asking and talking to people, and they said, yeah, I don't have the things that my neighbor has. And so Jim and Eileen thought, let's start this organization to help people connect to each other, connect to community, connect to family. And shortly after they started Imago around that topic, one of their mentors, Joyce Quinlan, had just spent time in Europe and visiting ecological communities out in Europe and said, hey, look, people aren't just disconnected to each other. They're disconnected to the environment. So Imago really took that turn and became this organization that really wanted to help people connect to the environment. And it really resonates in the work that we do today, where even though we're about trees and trails and animals, we're as much about people as anything else.
What's Imago accomplished?
In 30 years. We've started, I think, the count now is five nonprofits around sustainability or community building. We have 37 acres of urban woods and trails that we preserve. We've served 50 to 60,000 kids in that time in terms of our programs. Summer camps every year, and the list goes on. And I mean, it's been just so much. And I don't get that question often. So then I start listening. I'm like, oh my God, we've done a lot. Yeah.
So where's Imago? Where's it located?
We are actually in the Enright Ridge Urban Eco Village on Enright Avenue in Price Hill.
Now, you were talking about the 37 acres that you're preserving and protecting.
Yeah.
And part of that is the Imago Nature Center, correct? Can you tell us about that?
So we have a 16-acre nature preserve. It operates like a park, like a Cincinnati park. It's not a Cincinnati park, but it operates like one, so folks are welcome to stop on by and hike the trails. We also use it as a site for our education programs as well. Our summer camps are out of there. Some of our school programs are out of there as well.
And you've acquired, what, the 37 acres has been in bits and pieces
in
over the years?
In bits and pieces, yeah. So it's, I could give you the whole history, but it's kind of long and long-winded. But yeah, it's been in bits and pieces of 7-acre parcel here, an 8-acre parcel there. We are in the process, hopefully, of protecting another 3 acres soon. So hopefully we'll have that official announcement as well.
What kind of animals?
I think what you would find typically in an urban setting. So things like raccoon and deer. But because we are part of another great nonprofit, not part of it, but we are located in this Western Wildlife Corridor. So this protected land that's along the Ohio River that goes west of the city out to the Indiana border. We find a lot of animals that come through that you might not typically find in a deep urban setting because they have a green corridor to travel on from wilder areas out west. So we'll hear coyotes, owls, woodcocks, things like that. So yeah.
Oh, and one of the nonprofits that you helped to create was the Enright Ridge Urban Eco Village. And Jamie, tell us about that.
Sure. As Chris said, the community building aspect that Imago had a focus on resulted in the creation of Enright Ridge Urban Eco Village in 2004. And it was founded in order to help us get connected, better connected with one another, and to support each other in living a more green lifestyle.
So it, where exactly is it located?
So currently most members are on four streets surrounding Imago, but we also have other members throughout Price Hill. So it's a little bit strange because most eco-villages are on one parcel of land that is owned in common. But since we're in an urban setting where people have their own land that they own, we're kind of spread out. So it's not just a location, but it's a group of people as well.
Right. So this was already an existing neighborhood.
Correct.
And they just decided they were going to operate under certain principles.
Exactly.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Now, you were basically ahead of the curve, though, in folks wanting to grow their own food and be more attached to the earth. How much more attention are you starting to get over the last few years? It seems like this is something that more and more people are interested in these days.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I feel like folks are definitely becoming much more attentive to this. I think that, and Jamie can probably attest to this, but people are asking about like, oh, you live in this eco-village? Like, what is that like? And I wanted to live in something like that. How do I do that in my own place too? So I don't know. Do you feel like you noticed, Jamie? That
absolutely. One of the interesting things that I notice is that we have several members that have gardens in their front yards, for example. But we have other people that are on the street that aren't necessarily very active in the eco-village, but they've taken a cue from those people with gardens in their front yards, and they feel comfortable in doing that too. So there's many of our neighbors will have very, very robust food gardens in their front yards just because they see us doing it and feel comfortable and feel safe doing it instead of just growing a lawn full of grass.
And just to be clear, someone might hear this and think, oh, it's a commune, but that's not the case at all,
no.
Is it?
Commune's a very specific type of intentional community where all resources are shared and income, and Enright Ridge is nothing like that. We have our own separate finances. We do a lot of things together, but there's no financial ties between members or anything like that.
And how are folks attracted to purchase homes in Enright? You see a lot of interest in the community?
Absolutely. A lot of it's word of mouth. We have some information about homes available on our website, enrightecovillage.org. But I think a lot of it comes from just a neighbor saying, hey, this place is going to be coming up for sale, because demand for houses in the eco-village is so high.
Do you have a certain rules, restrictions, covenants about energy usage, and environmental things, that type of thing?
That's a really good question. That's actually something that we're working on developing right now. We have a new membership policy that we're going to put into effect beginning in 2017. And a big part of that is something that we're calling right now ecological covenants. So those are things like, I shall strive not to use fossil fuels for transportation within the boundaries of the eco-village. So encouraging people to walk or ride a bike, also to not use pesticides and things like that on our gardens. So those are all part of a member agreement, which we haven't instituted yet, but it's a way to keep each other accountable for the things that we want to do.
So go back, kind of fill me in. How did the whole idea for the eco-village come about? I mean, how long ago did that happen?
Well, the eco-village was founded in 2004. And I believe it was actually spun off of another nonprofit, or came after another nonprofit that Imago started, which is Price Hill Will. Price Hill Will does a lot of great community building and things in Price Hill, but they weren't as ecologically focused. So the eco-village was founded in an effort to focus more on the environmental issues.
Chris, does he have the sequence right there?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That checks out, Jamie. Yeah. No, yeah, that's exactly right. Price Hill Will was started by Imago. I don't know the dates. It's like early 2000s. Jim and Eileen had this vision for having Price Hill be an ecological neighborhood and did all this great work. Price Hill Will started to really take life its own. And then realizing that the community needed a bigger vision. Price Hill Will then was spun off of his own nonprofit. And I think Jim and Eileen had a chance to sit down and we're like, wow, we've been on Enright. We live on Enright. We've attracted a lot of people on Enright through our work with Imago, and said, why don't we, you know, bring this vision of an ecological neighborhood here on Enright? And that's the impetus for the Eco Village.
Are there opportunities locally for other villages like this to come into being?
Absolutely. We're hoping that we're able to create a system that can be replicated anywhere, whether in Northside Cincinnati or the South Side of Chicago and any urban areas. So we're trying to develop a model that can be copied.
Have you had anybody come to you so far and say, how do I do this?
Yeah, we've had a few people. There was a couple that was on a tour a few months ago that were from Columbus, and we offered to do some consultation with them. I don't think we've heard back from them yet, but there are people interested in starting these kinds of communities.
Now, where do you see these kind of communities primarily? Is this the fact that you're urban? Is that what makes this so unique?
I think that there's all kinds of intentional communities. Eco-villages are just one of those. I think the urban eco-village is very unique, and these kind of grassroots organization of community, I think, are necessary now more than ever so that we can have the resilience and count on our neighbors around us for support and things like that.
Now, are there any models of this or examples of this nationally?
Not that I know of. There are a few smaller co-housing communities that are in urban areas, but nothing that I know of on the scale that we're trying to do here in Price Hill.
Yeah. Chris, how tough is it as far as doing this kind of thing in an urban setting, getting people to think, to be environmentally conscious in an urban setting? Is that tough?
I think it has its challenges, but also its benefits. I mean, being in an urban setting, you have density on your side because you know you're closer together, so you can take advantage of things like public transportation. You tend to have more walkability in that. But then the other side of the coin is that it's harder to get your food from a local place. So it really, I think, an urban setting is not necessarily a drawback. It has its benefits. The one thing is that I think about when I think about being in an urban setting is that the world is becoming more urban. You know, Ohio, it's over 80% urban now, if I'm not mistaken. And then globally, we're more urban than ever. And so if we're going to have if we're going to be sustainable and talk about sustainability, we have to be able to model how do we do that in urban areas, because that's where most people are now.
I think one of the difficulties in keeping people mindful of the environment in an urban setting, and this is something that Imago is fulfilling, is that people become disconnected with nature. So they're not as mindful about the environment. And the programs that Imago has and what we're trying to do at the Eco Village is to connect people back with nature. So I think that's a hard part of the urban setting.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we'll continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to talk about conservation and sustainability efforts in an urban setting are Executive Director of Imago, Chris Clements, and incoming President of the Enright Ridge Urban Eco Village, Jamie Gaines. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jamie, what kind of things do you do in the Eco Village as far as community building? Because that's an important aspect of all this. Do you have events that are designed to do that?
Absolutely. We actually have two of our biggest venues for community building are Common Roots, which is a pub that we acquired about 18 months ago. So we're trying to be a pub that's open to a lot of people in the community, that's welcoming to all. And the other is the community-supported agriculture that we run, the CSA. So there's a lot of community building around the gardening and harvesting food. Another thing that the members do is we hold potlucks, weekly potlucks, where we interact and get to catch up with folks. And as we grow and get more member involvement, we hope to provide some more programs similar to Imago, but focus more on the sustainability portion as opposed to the nature and the things that Imago does.
How many people are in the community supported agriculture program? Is that a year round effort?
I don't know the exact number. I want to say that we had about 30 to 40 members last year. We're actually in the process of rebranding that CSA so that it's more accessible to people in Price Hill. We're working on being able to accept EBT. I think about 30 yeah. to 40 members last year. So hopefully that number just grows.
Keeps growing for
yeah,
you.
Exactly.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. And let's talk with Chaz in Dayton. Good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Go right ahead.
So I have studied sustainability in the city in Los Angeles, and one thing that I learned that is very prevalent in choosing where to focus sustainable efforts in Los Angeles is looking at the income of communities. For instance, lower income communities tend to have less sustainable environments, as well as communities that are high in diversity. So I was just wondering if you consider those factors or any other factors when choosing the locations of these sustainable communities to make the most change.
Okay. Chaz, yeah. Thank you for the question.
Yeah, great question. It's funny because where the Eco Village is in Price Hill is a little bit lower on the income, and it's very high in diversity. So while it's a big challenge, we think that that's exactly the area that needs these kinds of organizations more than anywhere else. It does present, like I said, some challenges. Our new membership policy is working to overcome some of those things. So, for example, if someone can't afford the membership dues, they're able to contribute additional work hours, say, at the gardening at the CSA or trail building at Imago. So that's one way that we're trying to overcome that. And then just being as open and honest as we can and attract, you know, as diverse membership as possible to reflect the surrounding community.
Chris, did you want to comment?
No, I mean, that sounds great. I think that's all. Yeah.
Let's talk to Tom in Pleasant Ridge. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Yeah, thanks so much for my call. I visited Enright, Imago, through AmeriCorps probably 5 years, 10 years ago at least. And I noticed the house that we went in had up-to-date, I guess, green throughout the house, from the type of materials used to the way the house was positioned. Everything was, you know, friendly to making the future work for all of us environmentally. And I was just wondering if your guests could say a few things about what was in that house and the kind of things people are putting in their house today and construction-wise, what they're using, that we all could benefit from if we were aware of it. And I'll take my call after you.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. We appreciate the call.
Yeah, another great question. So the Eco Village, since 2004, has rehabbed about 18 buildings, one of which he referred to. I can't say on that specific house, but one of the big things that we can do to make our houses more sustainable is insulation. And having as high a R value as we can afford really saves on your gas and electric, but also using things like paints with low VOCs or the volatile organic compounds. A lot of people will install rain gardens, which helps divert the flow of rainwater and helps the sewer system from getting overwhelmed. What are some other ways?
No, I mean, I would say when I get asked this question about, you know, what are some of the things that I could do that are green, you know, the easiest answer is to start by using less. So one is to use less energy, as Jamie mentioned, and an easy way to use less energy is to really insulate and improve the envelope of your home, and driving less when possible. And so, you know, back to those houses, I think having that insulation has been key. Energy efficiency appliances and HVAC systems. And again, like, I'm not exactly sure which house the gentleman walked through, but those are all factors that have gone in. And over the long run, they tend to be, you know, cost efficient as well, because you end up saving money over time too.
Sure.
Are you able to monitor energy usage for the homes in the Eco Village?
We've talked about a way to do that, but that's kind of up to the individual homeowner. Yeah.
What's the housing stock like in along Enright?
There are about 80 buildings, and there aren't many that are vacant currently. We just purchased a home last week on Enright, and we've been looking.
Congratulations!
Thank you very much.
New homeowner, right? First-time homeowner.
Yes, very okay. Anxious about that. But we've been waiting for about we've been looking for almost 2 years for a home to become available. So it's slim pickings. People want to move there, and they want to stay there for a long time.
So. A couple of the assets with, you know, just on Enright, which I think are unique. One is the houses are older. They're, you know, close to 100 years old. So they have a lot of character to them. They also, because of that, they don't always start as the greenest homes because for the fact that we mentioned, only they don't have a lot of insulation. Mm-hmm. So that's work that can happen to them. But perhaps my favorite aspect, and I live on Enright as well, of the street, is that the street on three sides is surrounded by woods. So for most people, and I would say everybody that lives on Enright just about, they back up into woods in one capacity or another. And there's these huge, deep backyards. So, you know, Jamie had talked about a lot of the work that we do is helping people to connect with nature, just being out in nature. That is an incredible aspect, to be able to have nature just around you all the time while still being only 3 miles from downtown Cincinnati. And so that's a huge asset.
Absolutely.
So is this a walkable area? Are you pretty close to local services?
Definitely. We have grocery stores, hardware stores, Cincinnati Rec Center nearby.
Library.
Mm-hmm, library.
Banks. I would say it's definitely – and it's just one block up is a bus line, and then two blocks up is another bus line as well. So it's also just an area that if you need to go to other places, you could easily get on public transportation too. Mm-hmm.
I find I'll have sometimes 5 or 6 days where I realize I haven't even left Price Hill. So it's pretty wonderful as far as keeping a small footprint.
So it's so very accessible. Then.
Yes, absolutely.
What kind of impact would you say the Enright Ridge Eco Village has had? You think people are taking note of it and saying this is, I think so.
And certainly in our little area, as I mentioned, we just purchased a bar. That was a very problematic bar prior to the Eco Village purchasing it. So people definitely noticed that that's gone. And it's the same with the building across the street. West 8th, you know, runs along those streets, so we get a lot of traffic through there, and I think people are curious and turning their heads to see what we're doing in our yards there.
I would say also just the idea that the Eco Village exists it's a model. It's something that people can get excited about. It's a demonstration. So sometimes the impact alone is just the fact that people say, well, this is possible. I could do this, or I could at least go check these people out because none of the folks that live on, we're all very interesting people, but we're as average people as you can meet. So we don't need to be like, you know, very rich or have, you know, all the green design skills or all that. We're just all pretty regular folk. Absolutely. And we're doing it. And a lot of it is this work that where
I think the strongest part of the eco-village is the fact that it's just getting people to talk together and work towards a common goal. And there's so many great benefits that come out of that. And so that's the other impact, is that I think that even for the folks in the eco-village, they're feeling this richness because they're more tied into their community.
So, Chris, do you think this is an idea that's going to keep growing?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I think that people are going to continue to look for without getting too soapboxy, I do think that there's a growing number of folks that are saying, you know, this system isn't working for me. I feel disconnected. I feel disconnected from my neighbors. I feel disconnected from nature. I feel disconnected from, I get in a car and that's just be by myself. And then I come home and then I sit in front of the TV and, there's a lack of just richness in life. And I do think that these intentional communities and organizations like Imago really help to add richness to life. So I do think that people are excited and it's green. And that's something that's also that's really exciting and interesting to people right now.
So what's next for Imago?
That's a great question. So our big program right now is we do this program called Connecting Urban Youth to Nature. We are taking young people that are living in urban areas, and we take them outside on a regular basis. Science tells us now that if you spend time outside on a regular basis, you're happier and you're healthier. Science also tells us that people are spending less and less time out in nature. There's a number of reasons. And so we decided to really start focusing on that by doing programs for urban youth through our partner agencies. So we work with Pleasant Ridge Montessori and the International Welcome Center. And the what we do is we have those kids go outside, not necessarily at Imago, but at the school or at the agency. So we actually bring nature to them by helping to create nature areas or maintain nature areas where they're at. And for us, the next big thing will be to continue to find partners to expand that program. And then, as I mentioned earlier, is that we're looking to preserve another 3 acres to our nature preserve. So those are two big things that we're doing coming up. And then we'll have a whole another slew of workshops that on green living that we'll be doing in this upcoming year.
What's your website?
ImagoEarth.org.
Okay. Yeah. And Jamie puts you on the spot here. Sure. What's next for the Eco Village?
We are working on reorganizing and becoming improving our communication, improving our membership base and the contributions from our members. We want to get more involved with programs at Imago and interact with Imago more. And then just getting the word out about the Eco Village, I think, is a big part of our next step. And you can do that by checking us out at Common Roots. It's on the corner of West 8th and Enright. We'll be having a podcast that's going to come out early next year, so you can look for that on our website at enrightecovillage.org. Just continuing to grow and improve Price Hill.
And your first official day as president is going to be?
January 1st.
January 1st.
2017.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both for joining me this afternoon.